Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So what are they? Can anybody tell me all 1,000 of them? There's probably not 1,000, but we'll find out how many there are when we're done. So who would read Luke 6:46 as an introductory verse for us this morning? Philip, thank you. That's a question Jesus is asking of us. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? So if he truly is our Lord, which means our master, we should obey him. Amen? And he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So the purpose of this study is to make sure we know what those commandments are. And we're just walking through from Matthew as they appear. And as they do, then we're looking at all the verses on that particular commandment and then moving on. So last week we made it through 3 in 1 hour, or 1 class. That wasn't too bad. And so that was Matthew 4:19, follow me. The first one, follow me. And then, let's see, Matthew chapter 5, be a witness for Christ or shine for Jesus. These are last week's. And then number 3, thou shalt not kill. Everybody okay with that one? No murder. And that is the 6th of the 10 commandments from Exodus chapter 20. As I shared, you're going to find that Jesus gave us all of the 9 of the 10 commandments in the New Testament. There's one that he didn't, and we'll learn that later. So we're moving on this morning, still in Matthew chapter 5, where we finished last week. And this next commandment is really, for Christians, one of the most important commandments that we could ever follow. And so I think, to save time, if it's okay with you, I'm going to just assign verses to people that I know are willing to read, and then we'll just go bang, bang, bang. And that way I don't have to keep asking and waiting and all that. So I'm just going to start on this side of the room. I know those that are willing to read. So Brother Scott, you're Matthew 5:23-26. That's our introductory passage, but not yet. Brother Howard, Matthew 6:12. Philip, Matthew 6:14-15. Beryl, Matthew 18:15-17. Let's see, who else are some of my readers? Beth, Matthew 18:22. And you okay with Tech 1, Matthew? Matthew 18:35. I'm doing them in scripture order. Jackie, Mark 11:25-26. And Doug, Luke 11:4. And Norm, Luke 17:3-4. That'll be a good introduction. So that's just the Gospels. And the commandment is reconcile with our brothers and sisters. Amen? And forgive. So before we dive in, let's pray and ask for the Lord's wisdom. Lord, please use your word in our lives today to teach us, to grow us. Lord, we want to please you as we serve you. And so I pray the Holy Spirit would truly speak to each of our hearts today through your powerful word. And Lord, the things that we learn would help us to be more effective servants for our wonderful Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. All right, Brother Scott, Matthew 5:23-26.
Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing.
Okay, so before we read the next one, this isn't talking about us forgiving, is it? This is saying that if we know someone has been wronged by us, we're supposed to what? Go to them. So this is the other side. And for, as Christians, we are responsible to always do both, and without exceptions, as we'll see. But that's why I call this forgive and reconcile. So forgive, obviously, if someone's wronged us. But if we know that we've wronged someone, we're to go to them and try to reconcile. Okay? Brother Howard at Matthew 6:12. So this is part of the model prayer that Jesus gave in Matthew 6, which we'll be getting to. Let's see, Philip, Matthew 6:14 to 15. Thank you. And then Beryl, Matthew 18:15 to 17. Amen. So we're all very familiar with this passage. It's often referred to as the church discipline passage. But this is specifically only for a difference between two people. There are other reasons for church discipline, but this is specifically when there are a difference that cannot be resolved without the help of witnesses. But it starts with a loan. The key word is a loan. If someone's wronged you, you don't tell others. You go to that person alone and try to get it resolved. That's the key there. All right, Matthew 18:22.
Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven.
So this introduced a parable that Jesus gave, Matthew 18, called the unforgiving servant, where the one man owed billions of dollars and was forgiven it. And then he turned around and took a guy by the throat who owed him a couple thousand. And Jesus gave that parable to show what we look like when we won't forgive. So in the midst of that, then, Matthew 18:35, was that you, Matthew?
So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother, his trespasses.
So this is the end of the parable where Jesus says, where to what? From your hearts forgive. Okay? And then Mark 11:25-26.
And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have ought against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. And if ye do not forgive, neither will the Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses.
When you stand praying, forgive, because it can hinder our prayer life if we have unforgiveness in our lives. Luke 11:4. So again, Luke 11 giving us the model prayer, and then Luke 17:3-4.
Take heed to yourselves, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive me.
We have a hard time with this one, don't we? When it's something that keeps happening over and over, to keep forgiving. But then, do we keep sinning against God over and over? And He keeps forgiving us. Were there other readers back here? Maggie, you willing to read? Ephesians 4:31-32. Anyone else over here before I start the cycle? Robin, Colossians 3:13. And then I'll come back, Brother Scott, Hebrews 12:15. So, Maggie, Ephesians 4:31-32. Now, the reason I had to read both is because in verse 31, it mentions bitterness. Where does bitterness come from? Unforgiveness. And then in verse 32, what does it say? Forgiving one another. But then it tells us how to forgive. even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So there is our measurement of forgiveness, how much God has forgiven us, which is what? Everything. No limits. All right, Colossians 3:13, Robin. So again, even as Christ forgave you. So there is our measuring stick. Even as Christ forgave you. And then Hebrews 12:15, Brother Scott.
Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled.
So our fourth commandment, as we're walking through the New Testament, is we have a biblical command to always reconcile, forgive those that have wronged us and those that we have wronged. It's pretty basic. That is kind of the heart of Christianity, isn't it? Forgiveness. If it wasn't for forgiveness, we'd be going to hell. And God was willing to forgive us all. He says, now you need to follow in my steps and forgive all. Any questions about that commandment? It's pretty cut and dried, isn't it? And there are no exceptions. The disciples tried to find if there could be one. Lord, how many? Seven times? Jesus said, how about 70 times seven? And he wasn't telling us to keep a tally in our notebook and see once they've done it 490 times to stop, was he? Because if we're keeping a tally, then we didn't forgive, did we? But he was making a point that you just keep forgiving because that's what God does. Any questions, comments about the fourth one?
Just one comment. In Matthew 18:33, where it talks about the master talking to the first servant, should you not have compassion on your fellow servant just as I have on you? In other words, the master showed the first servant mercy, but that servant wouldn't show mercy to the next one under him.
Right.
So the master then withdrew his mercy and threw him in prison. So our forgiveness or us being shown mercy should allow us to also show mercy to others. It's meant to be like an ongoing.
Exactly. Right.
Without the ongoing effect, you break the chain.
That's correct. Now, in this parable, the master is obviously God.
Yes.
Or the Lord forgiving us.
Yep.
And then we're to forgive others. But you're right, it is a chain. It should never be broken.
Yep.
Very good. Anything else? Good. All right. Matthew chapter 5, Howard, 27 to 28. This is commandment number 5, which is the seventh of the commandments from the Old Testament. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Don't think any of us have a problem with this one. One of the Ten Commandments, Howard, Matthew 5, 27 to 28. Philip, Matthew 19, 18. Beryl, Mark 10, 19. Who was next? Beth, Luke 18:20, Matthew, Romans 13:9, and Maggie, Galatians 5:19, Robin, Matthew 13:4, and Jackie, James 2:11. All right, we'll start over here, Brother Howard. Matthew 5:27 and 28.
You have heard that it was said by them in old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman lust after her have committed adultery with her already in his heart.
So as with the murder commandment that we looked at, Jesus has expounded upon this one as well. With the murder one, he said, if you hate your brother in your heart, you've murdered him in your heart. Now Jesus has taken the adultery commandment and expounded upon it and said that if a man lusts after a woman, he's already committed adultery in his heart. And so the devil knows what he's doing with our modern day pornography problem, doesn't he? It's very sad and destroying a lot of lives. All right, Matthew 19:18, Philip. And Beryl, Mark 10:19. Do not steal, do not be false witness, fall not on thy father and mother. Amen. And then Luke 18:20, Beth.
Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not be a false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother.
Amen. Romans 13:9, Matthew.
For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandments, it is briefly comprehended. In this same namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
And we'll get to that one. That is a great commandment. But I'm just showing you that the adultery commandment is all through the New Testament. And then Galatians 5:19, was that Maggie? So adultery is the first one on the list. Hebrews 13:4. Robin?
Marriage is honorable and whole, and it is undefiled, but woman is an adulteress on the judge.
And James 2:11.
For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, neither thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law.
So as we can see, the adultery commandment carries right on through into the New Testament. From the commandments of the Old Testament was number 7 of the 10 commandments. And that is the 5th one that we've looked at. Thou shalt not commit adultery. So that's pretty basic. Did you know that in most countries, it was actually against the law 100 years ago to commit adultery? It was actually a law, because our laws, most of our laws, were derived from the Bible. It's definitely not against the law anymore, is it? Because it's so common. But it's actually, you were breaking the law when you committed adultery in the old days. But you're still breaking God's laws when you commit adultery. So, thou shalt not commit adultery. That is a commandment number 7 of the 10 commandments, our 5th one. Any questions, comments about that basic one? Because the next one kind of ties in with a little bit. All right, we'll start over. Actually, we'll start with Doug. So, number 6 is kind of a unique one. It says, no divorce except, and then Jesus gives an exception. And so that's Matthew 5:31-32, Doug. And then Norm, Matthew 19:6-9. And then we'll go from there. So Doug, go ahead and read Matthew 5:31-32.
It has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her the writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, commit adultery.
And before we move on, this word fornication, most of us, when we think about that word, we think that it's something that only unmarried people can commit. Is that right?
Yes, that's how I see it.
So then, what did Jesus mean? And what he meant was, if you study this word fornication, what its basic root meaning is, it's the same that is translated in other places, like we saw whoremonger. So what Jesus is saying is that if one of the parties commits multiple, in other words, they essentially prostitute themselves with multiple partners, then they have committed fornication in marriage. 1 Corinthians 6 also talks about the fact that married people can still commit fornication. We have a misconception that fornication is only something that unmarried people can do, but it's not true. 1 Corinthians 6 makes that very clear. All that aside, Jesus has also made it clear that he doesn't want divorce, right?
I'm going to have to worry you on that one.
That's fine, Philip.
When Jesus is talking here, he's talking to, in Matthew, he's predominantly talking to the Jews.
He's only talking to the Jews.
Yes, well, they used to say their vows at the beginning of the betrothal period. That's why it required a letter of divorce to divorce during the betrothal period. But that also allowed the woman to remarry freely. It's only if they committed fornication were they stoned to death, and that was normally found when the marriage was consummated after the 12-month period. So what Jesus is saying here is that if a Jew is married to his wife and he finds out that she's committed fornication, he's allowed to give her a letter of divorce, but it's not adultery, because they don't say their vows. That's why they use a letter of divorce. Now, we use a letter of divorce now, well, the world does, after the marriage is consummated, which is they're breaking God's law by they've shifted the divorce papers, if you like, after a consummated marriage, and that was never the intention of the Jews to do that. They were never allowed to divorce after marriage was consummated, even if they didn't love them. I know they practiced polygamy, which is something they got wrong, but they never divorced for consummated marriage, and if they did, and marry someone else, it was called adultery, and that's brought out in the book of Malachi.
Yep, where God tells us he hates divorce.
Yes, but the fornication is only premarital sex, not postmarital.
Okay, I appreciate your perspective. But we have to be careful that we don't insert Jewish traditions or history into the scriptures that we can't back up with scriptures.
Okay, well, in the Jewish language, they never had a word for fornication. They only had a word for adultery. If a man was married, even in a consummated marriage, and then he had sex with another maiden, he was asked to marry her. In other words, he was said he knew her.
Mm-hmm.
But he was never considered to be a fornicator. It was only considered to be prostitution if he had sex and not intended to marry her.
Right, and so you're talking about in Hebrew, right?
Yes.
Because we're in the New Testament, which is written in Greek.
Yes, I understand that, but Jesus was concerned in talking to the Jews that the death penalty was out, basically after the cross. And we're not expected to divorce our consummated marriages, but we can still separate from an engagement, even though Jesus doesn't like it. It's implied that we should only separate from an engagement for fornication only, and not for any other reason. But
which obviously is which should be true.
Yeah, but a Jewish woman who was betrothed, but still a virgin, if she had sex with another man who was not her husband, and she'd call him her husband, and wear a ring, and have the vows, the only thing they hadn't done was consummated it. So if she had sex with someone else, it was called adultery, and she was stoned to death. It was not called fornication.
Okay.
That's the difference you have between the Jewish way of thinking and the world's way of thinking. Their understanding is that the man doesn't do any wrong, because it was a chauvinistic society. Men had control of life and death of the women that they looked after, and the women were superior, observant.
Good. Thank you. So God's made it clear that he doesn't want divorce. That's the main point of the commandment. Will we all agree with that? And yes, this exception is only listed in Matthew 5. It's not listed in any other place. So all the rest of these scriptures show us that God does not want divorce. That is the main heart of the commandment, is that God planned for man to stay married. That was his commandment, if you will. So that brings us to Matthew. Did we read Matthew 19 yet? So 6 through 9, Brother Scott, and as we'll see, Jesus makes it very clear that marriage is very sacred to our Lord because he is the one that makes us one flesh. That is something supernatural that we can't completely comprehend until we get to heaven. So Howard, Mark 10:9 through 12, and Philip, Luke 16:18, and Beryl, Romans 7:3, and Matthew, 1 Corinthians 7:10-11. So we'll see definitely a theme here. So Brother Scott, Matthew 19:6-9.
Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. They say unto him, why did Moses then command give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery, and whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery.
So again, this fornication is only mentioned in Matthew. And in the passage, whosoever should put away his wife. So if we're going to take the Bible literally, it's talking about his wife. Now, we can say, we can bring in Jewish tradition and say that they're not actually married yet, that they're engaged, but the Bible doesn't say that.
Yeah, well, with the Jewish tradition, they get saved and they call each other husband and wife.
I understand, but that's tradition. That's not scripture. So we have to be careful. All right, so Mark 10:9-12. Howard.
What people God hath joined together, let not man split asunder. And in the house, his disciples asked him again for the same matter. And he said, he saith unto them, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another, committeth adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery.
And as you'll see, this fornication is not mentioned in any other gospel. Luke 16:18, Philip.
Whoso put away his wife and married another committeth adultery. Whosoever married her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery.
Beryl, Romans 7:3.
But in a fallen husband with her, she be married to another man, she be called an adulteress. But if a husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man.
And Brother Matthew, 1 Corinthians 7:10-11.
And unto the married man, yet not I but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But if she depart, he shall remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife.
So Paul here is, in a way, expounding on the commandment to not commit adultery. So this is the, oh, I forgot to put the number on there, which of the commandments was thou shalt not commit adultery? Six? Number six. Thou shalt not commit adultery is our sixth. Which one is it?
Five.
Five, sorry. Number five. Forgot to put the number on that one. So thou shalt not commit adultery, the fifth of the Ten Commandments. Oh, no, it's number seven. We already looked at it. Yes, so it's number seven of the Ten Commandments. And it is, as we see with some of the others, with the murder and now the adultery, Jesus is expounding on them for us, saying that God knows our hearts and that we can sin in our hearts. And we have to be ever so careful of these heart sins. Now, this next one you'll recognize is one of the commandments as well, and that's Matthew 5:33-37. We don't hear much about this today, and that is, thou shalt not swear. It's not mentioned a lot in the New Testament, but it is here. Now, the commandment in the Old Testament was, thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. Right? That was the third of the Ten Commandments. Remember, the first four are in our relationship with God, and then the last six are our relationship with one another when you look at the Ten Commandments. And the third one is, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. So Jesus is again expounding in Matthew 5:33-37. So Beth, is it your turn? Could you read that?
5:33?
Yeah, to 37.
By thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be, yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil.
Amen. Matthew 23:16-22. Did I assign that? Maggie, can you read that? 23:16-22. So do you think Jesus is warning us about swearing upon anything? Absolutely. We need to be careful. And then it's given to us in James 5:12, if you want to turn there. James says, James 5:12, but above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. So what is the point Jesus is trying to get across? Speak the truth, absolutely, and if you make a commitment, you keep it, right? We're honest, and if we make a promise, we keep the promise. But we don't swear upon the Lord or what the Lord has created. That is, Jesus says that is foolishness, and he's telling us not to do it. That is one of his commandments. So don't swear. Now we'll talk more about taking God's name in vain later, but they kind of are connected. But the point is, we have to be very careful about swearing. We don't hear as much about it today, but it used to be a big deal. I swear on this. I swear by this. Jesus says, just don't do it. And James as well. So that was number 7. Number 8 we won't have time for, but we can at least mention it. And very important one, and that is not to render evil for evil, but instead to love our enemies. One that we all struggle with. Especially when we're kids. He hit me first. Nobody's ever heard that before, right? Never render evil for evil. But we want to. Our flesh wants to. When we get hurt, we want to hurt back, don't we? And that's part of being a Christian, is we don't do that. When we're wronged, we go back to the other commandment. We leave it with the Lord. But this we'll see as we walk through this next one, that's what God says to do. Give it to him. He knows everything. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. If the person needs to be dealt with, God will take care of it. It's not our place to execute vengeance. So that'll be number 8, and we'll look at that next week. No evil for evil, but love your enemies. We're still in Matthew 5. But eventually.